to listen to the Left Traffic Podcast.
What's up, Lap Traffic Nation? Welcome. Episode number 67 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. I am your host, the Professor Brandon Crowd. Oh, what a phenomenal weekend of racing. And no, I'm not just talking about because Kevin Harvick won his fourth race. It was just some good racing out there. But we'll get to that in a little bit. I hope everyone had a great weekend. As always, hope you got to enjoy the racing this weekend. It was absolutely beautiful this weekend here in Metro Detroit. Got to spend some time outside just enjoying the weather. The yard cleaned up a little bit, all that good stuff, and got to take in some racing this weekend from Dover, which was incredible. As always, got your typical show lined up here. However, a little bit more of a unique guest on the show, going to talk to a legend from Ford Performance. He was known in the garage. He was known across the sport, not just in NASCAR, but motorsports as it pertains to Ford and Ford Performance here in a couple minutes here. We're going to talk Dover this past weekend. Aaron, the weatherman's going to call in with his usual weather report. An update on the Wave Around Hotline format. I got a ton of your lucky dog and lap down picks from this weekend. Fantasy is heating up. The lap traffic fantasy is exploding, which is fantastic. We're about to get this thing going here. I am ready. I hope you guys are. Thanks again to everyone that has helped spread word. Over 29,000 downloads, getting close to that 30,000 mark, getting close to the 3,000 follower mark. We're going to get into that during the social media segment, as always. That said, only a two-minute intro. We're getting right into it today with our guests. So, without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, here we go. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, joining me on the line, recently retired after 40 years working with Ford as the motorsports marketing manager for Ford Performance, Mr. Tim Duer. Tim, welcome to the Lap Traffic Podcast. How are you?
Hey, Brandon. Thanks for having me on. I've heard a lot about lap traffic, and I'm honored to finally be on the podcast.
Oh, well, that is way too kind. Way too kind. But thank you very much. So tell me off the bat, you've been retired. I've met a lot of people and know a lot of people that have retired recently, and they say they can't believe how busy they are after retired life and didn't know how they fit everything in while they were working. Is that true for you?
Yeah, very true. And I heard those rumors all along, people telling me, you know, boy, once you retire, you're going to be just as busy as you were working. Now, the good news is I don't have to travel 35 to 40 weekends to races like I did when employed. But I did a unique situation where in July of last year, I hit my 40 years with Ford. And as much as I loved racing and going to NASCAR and all the various series where we run, I just figured after 40 years, it's time for a change. So I really changed. I got married for the first time in August and then retired in September. And I'm busier now than I ever was, you know, while I was working over there at Ford Performance.
Well, congratulations on that. That's incredible. Exciting all at the same time, not just one major life event, but two there in a month span. That's awesome.
Being married is now my full-time job.
Excellent, yes. we're somewhat neighbors, Tim. We're just down the road from each other off the famous Woodward Avenue, if you will. It was a beautiful weekend here in Metro Detroit. Did you get to enjoy the weekend at all? And this finally spring has sprung.
Yes, most definitely. And my big passion all along has always been the game of golf. And that's what I do now that I'm not working. And it was so tough traveling, you know, with Ford to the races. It wasn't feasible to bring your golf clubs because you were always, you know, at the track. And now that I'm retired, you know, golf is going to be my key hobby. So
excellent.
We had a great weekend, played a lot of golf already this year as our weather now in Michigan's changed, and went down to Florida and played some earlier in the year. So now that it looks like we're finally into a solid spring and with a step into summer here shortly, that's where you'll find me on the golf course.
Excellent. Well deserved, sir. All right. So tell everyone a little bit about how you got into Ford Performance. Like you said, you've been there, you were there a little over 40 years. What was your role and what does the marketing manager of Ford Performance do?
Well, started 40 years ago. I was a student at Valparaiso University down in Indiana, and Ford came knocking on the university's door looking for some business graduates with marketing degrees, and I interviewed, accepted the job. They sent me right to St. Louis after graduation, and I had the pleasure of working for Ford in St. Louis, Dallas, Texas. I was up here in Detroit in 84 and 85 in the Renaissance Center with Ford. Then I went out to New York City, had the tri-state area for New York. I had the pleasure of going to Denver, Colorado for 10 years, which I just absolutely loved. And then back in 2000, 18 years ago, I ended up back here with Ford in Dearborn. But in 2006, Ford came to me. I was in another marketing job and said, how would you like to come over and help us with marketing at the then Ford Racing? And I said, geez, I'm not much of a race fan. I kind of follow NASCAR, the Daytona 500, but sure. Didn't know much about it because, I grew up in Western New York, so I was a big Buffalo Bills fan and a Buffalo Sabres fan. And like I said, a big golf fanatic. And, what's this NASCAR all about? So I thought this was going to be a real interesting change. And I went, and boy, I tell you what, for the last 12 years, it was an absolute dream and an honor to represent Ford in not only NASCAR, but I was also very involved with IMSA and the launch of the Ford GT at IMSA and World Endurance Challenge. And obviously our quest to go back and conquer the 24 hours of Le Mans. Ford's also very active in World Rallycross, Global Rallycross. We're back into NHRA. I ran our marketing for the NHRA program for 5 years and had the opportunity to work with John Force and his family. And, now it's really exciting news to see that Ford Performance is going back to supercars in Australia. So, to be able to be involved with all those series and representing Ford Motor Company was just a dream come true, and an honor to be able to have that exciting of a role in a company like Ford. And really, truthfully, that's what kept me there, additionally several more years than when, the average Ford employee normally retires.
Sure. Well, so
If it weren't for being in that job, I probably would have retired quite a while ago.
It's not work when you're having fun, right?
Exactly.
So talk a little bit about what your role was in the garage. So you traveled, to almost every race. What was your role in the garage representing Ford?
Well, I like to tell everybody, Ford sells vehicles. And we have shareholders to report to. And our quest is market share profitability for Ford Motor Company by selling our vehicles. So I was a salesman. I sold Ford vehicles through the tools of NASCAR and all the other sports that we participated in to help support the funding of those, series, and also integrate with the massive fan bases that we dealt with. Being in motorsports, my objective was to increase the familiarity of Ford Motor Company, increase favorable opinion of our products, get these fans and even the people that participated within the sports to consider Ford products, get out and shop our products, and then buy our products. And we did that through several various ways. One of them was becoming an official partner of a lot of these sports and enabled us to work hand in hand with the sponsors in those sports that were also official partners. And then also engaging with the sponsors in addressing their fan base and sharing their products with our fan base. So Ford's a huge company. We buy a lot of products. We can go to these sponsors and say, hey, would you like to take a look to see if Ford might be interested in purchasing your products? Also, we have a massive employee and retiree base here at Ford. We could share the products and services of our sponsors, you know, and with NASCAR, with our employees and retirees to see if they'd be interested in purchasing them. We, you know, Ford's got the X-Plan partner recognition, so we offered that immediately to any sponsor that we worked with within, you know, the business. Fleet, you know, Ford's a phenomenal fleet company.
Sure, sure.
So I was constantly introducing our fleet people to these massive Fortune 500 companies that are in the sport to get them to hopefully buy and consider fleet, our Ford fleet products. And then in turn, you know, not only from a B2B, business-to-business standpoint, but from a business-to-consumer standpoint, we worked with all these entities behind the scenes to jointly promote to our fans. You know, Ford Performance has got some massive social media sites, both Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. And a lot of times I was behind the scenes promoting these sponsors and their products to our massive Ford Performance fan base. Plus, we did joint promotions together, sweepstakes, you know, Homestead, where we have Ford Championship Weekend. We worked with a lot of our partners, you know, involved in the year-end finale. So basically, I was working with a lot of them to make sure that they were happy being in the sport of NASCAR or our other sanctioning bodies, or that they were a sponsor of a Ford team. Because we could track all this. What's cool about working for Ford and doing this is we have a product that we can actually track. When a vehicle gets registered, we know who that consumer is. And if I've engaged with that consumer with some form of a data capture, I can actually justify that, hey, this gentleman came to the Ford display at MIS, registered, and if he goes into a Ford dealership and buys one of our products within the next 120 days, we kind of count that towards an engagement with racing.
So that's your way of being able to support back to the higher powers that be of, hey, the money that Ford's investing within the motorsports industry, the money that we're investing with partnering up with other sponsors and corporate partners, whether it be through flashing Ford's logo, you're able to go back and say, hey, you can tie those two pieces together to support and say, hey, it was worth doing that.
Exactly, Brandon. And if you think about it, you know, during the time that I was doing this, you know, we went into the tremendous downturn.
Yes.
Some of the manufacturers were, you know, declaring bankruptcy, borrowing money from the governments and, you know, Ford it. And you know, and we make vehicles, we race vehicles. Our DNA, Ford was started because of a race. So we always say that, you know, racing is in the DNA of Ford Motor Company. And, you know, but that doesn't mean that racing will stay on forever with Ford. And when we were going through the troubles of 2008 and 2009, everything was on the table just to survive.
Mm-hmm.
But our management could see that it was a valuable asset and it was a revenue generator, you know, being involved with the fan base. I mean, after all, that NASCAR fan base is just massive. It's, you know, 80 million strong. Number one loyalty in any sport, number one spectator sport overall. There's so many intenders. There are so many new vehicle purchase intenders in racing that we have to be there. We have to showcase our products so when these people and these fans actually do go purchase, they'll consider us, like I mentioned earlier. So yeah, it's even though we were, you know, on the verge of maybe going out, we kept our racing programs active and going.
That's fantastic. All right, so let's. You mentioned Ford's involvement in terms of being involved from a manufacturer perspective. The sport's taken some interesting turns over the last few years. Teams having a harder and harder time gaining sponsors for a full season. Teams needing to spend more money. We see Lowe's, after a long tenure with a multi-championship driver in Jimmy Johnson, leaving the sport. The sport itself is having a harder time securing long-tenure title sponsors, as we've seen with Monster. What's your take on that? You know, you made a real good connection there in terms of being able to how to identify how Ford tracks its value in terms of investing the money. But yeah, I joked with a buddy the other day. How does M&M's measure the quantity of bags of M&M's it sells and being able to tie that to NASCAR? So can you talk a little bit about that aspect of it?
Yeah, and you know, it's all driven by the economy, and you know, it's got to be a perfect fit for everybody involved. Speaking of M&M's, they've re-signed with Joe Gibbs, and you know, they've been with them a long time, and you know, I don't know how they justify how they count, you know,
sure,
packaging, but I know a lot of it's done based on brand involvement and brand identity with Kyle Busch and with Gibbs, and you know, it seems to do well with them and for them because they're still in the sport. A lot have left, a lot of new, you know, sponsors have come back in or have come into the sport, and it's just got to be the right fit for everybody. That was, you know, that was a big role for me when somebody did sign, or even when Roush Fenway, Team Penske, Stuart Haas, any of our teams would say, hey, we're getting ready. We've got a sponsor that's considering us. Could you talk to them? And I would immediately jump in, whether it's fly there in person or through a conference call, and go through all the benefits of what that company would get from Ford if they came in with a Ford-sponsored team. And we were able to actually sway a lot of new sponsors to the sport and continue with sponsors that we had because of Ford's relationship with the teams. And I did the same for NASCAR too. In fact, NASCAR has a fuel for council business to business gathering where they get their 63 sponsors that are official Barmark. We call them sponsors of NASCAR. We hold 5 meetings throughout the year. And the sole purpose of the meetings is to network and to resource from a B2B standpoint with those that are in the sport. And I work that aggressively, and I'm proud to say that in the 9 years that Ford was a part of that, we won the Fuel for Business Driving Business Award 3 different times.
That's awesome.
We won it in 10, 12, and in 15, and no other company or partner of the 63 has ever won it more than once.
Wow.
So it was a situation where we at Ford really valued, you know, getting involved in showing a return and helping our sponsors to the extent that we were recognized nationally with this award. But I think the sport, you know, there's a lot of things going on within the sport right now, from attendance and TV ratings. You know, you measure it very closely with, you know, the other major sports across the country, and they're all suffering. Nobody's up, you know, really from any of those type measurements. The one thing I know that NASCAR really accelerated and sees tremendous success is in their digital platform and social media. The engagements that they have online, you know, with their videos, with the resources that they provide, you know, are off the charts as far as statistics. And that's something that, you know, with the younger folks not tuning in, maybe they're DVRing the races or they're watching them from their devices, you know, makes a big difference. But, you know, the world's changing in every facet of the way we consume our sports. And that's happening in NASCAR like it is everywhere else.
So you mentioned viewership attendance with NASCAR and across the industry there. And you mentioned the importance of social media. Without social media, we're not sitting here talking because Brandon in Berkeley doesn't have a platform to get the Lap Traffic podcast out to people. So from that regard, social media is incredibly powerful and important, and I'm grateful for it, of course. What's the correlation? You know, you mentioned Ford in 2009 going in a downturn and manufacturing and the auto industry as a whole going down and on the rebound. Is that potentially what we're seeing here with sports? You know, there's just so much technology and social media that the traditional format of showing up at a race and watching on TV is kind of on a decline? Could we potentially see that pick back up? What would you say NASCAR could maybe do to spearhead that to pick it up sooner rather than later?
They've got an army of folks that are working on this right now. You know, obviously they've locked into a great TV contract, which is paying tremendous, revenues to the sanctioning body and the teams and those involved in the sport. So, you know, at some point that's going to need to be renewed. And you just have to make sure that you're, you know, performing well in every area of measurement. So when new people, you know, new fans come to sport, they know how to consume it. And then also the sponsors are going to know that there's some tremendous value there. But I know from a social media standpoint, NASCAR's got some top people that are very, very involved. You know, same here at Ford. You know, we see some tremendous returns from our, you know, Ford Fast News that's digitally that we put out, you know, the integration that we have with a lot of our, you know, contests and incentives. Ford's doing a big sweepstakes now with NASCAR to identify the biggest fan, you know, available out there that supports Ford performance. And I know they're getting tremendous results from the data captured there. But all in all, I think, you know, the sport's in good shape. Brent Dewar, you know, the president, an ex-GM executive who's done extremely well at the helm of, you know, he was the COO and just became president. Obviously, Mike Helton's still there. But guys like Steve Phelps and Jill Gregory, who are in the marketing area, are extremely focused on, you know, addressing these concerns, along with Steve O'Donnell from a competition standpoint. They've changed a lot of things competition-wise to help reduce costs and at the same time, you know, bring a little bit more excitement to the sport. So all in all, I'm not worried about NASCAR. I think they will survive. I think everything will be fine. But, you know, you just have to stay on top of the latest trends and forms of media that keep people engaged, you know, with the sport itself.
Sure. So you mentioned changing things to save costs. One of the biggest issues that have made it from a media standpoint is the pit guns and the, you know, teams got to pick them up when they get to the track and the teams aren't able to modify them to how they want. And, you know, we see some of the bigger teams talking about the issues with the pit guns on pit road and the malfunctions, you know, and we've heard it from the bigger teams. We haven't heard it from the smaller teams. Is that because the bigger teams had the resources to invest in rebuilding them, where the smaller teams just maybe kind of left them alone a little bit? Is that just the superstars of the sport trying to make a little bit of noise?
Yeah, these pit guns were in the tens of thousands of dollars, and that's a way that NASCAR thought, well, here, we'll get with one company, we'll bring in a gun, we'll make it uniformed, you pick it up, you drop it off at the end of the race, and, you know, everybody's playing on an equal playing field here. And then all of a sudden, a few of these things started malfunctioning and caused some, you know, teams, drivers, you know, points or actually, you know, places in the race and points. And it became very frustrating. And it's kind of like the luck of the draw, you know, here's your gun, let's hope it works. So sure. I know they're working really hard to standardize and make sure that there's optimal performance with these pit guns. But at the same time, it is saving the teams, you know, a lot of money by doing this. But they just have to, you know, and it's brand new. So you're going to have some issues when anything gets changed and it becomes brand new. But, you know, the guys that are complaining are the ones that have had the bad guns. And hopefully, you know, you won't see that going much longer. The company that will be providing these is going to make sure their quality is the ultimate. And they're not going to have any of these issues.
Sure. We've seen a transition in how NASCAR awards the championship over the last decade and a half. We went so long on just points, and at the end of the season, just awarding it based on who's highest in points. We shifted towards a playoff format on points based on wins, elimination rounds. What do you say to the old school fan that claims they've left the sport for that reason or another, whether, you know, we've obviously seen a decline in attendance and viewership. there's definitely talk that it's the old school fan. What do you say to the old school fan to how the sport's evolved?
Well, I think, you know, in my opinion, if you don't like what we're doing now and you're leaving the sport, you're disgruntled, you just don't like change. And a lot of people, the older you get, I'm one of them, I don't like change. You know, Ford came up with things that would change, you know, technology wise, and, you know, being 62 years old, I was kind of set in my ways, and I never really liked change. But if you embrace the change, you're going to find out that, wow, this is something that really is beneficial. And it's, in my opinion, what they've done with the playoffs and the way that they have they used to call it the chase, now it's just the playoffs, but the way they've established that, starting off fresh, you know, as you go on to the next round, and then coming down to a situation where four individual drivers, teams have an opportunity to win a championship, you know, has made it tremendously exciting. I can remember years where, you know, like Jimmy Johnson would wrap up the championship with a few races to go.
Yep.
Well, who wants to go to four championship weekend if, you know, the champion's really already been decided? And in the case now, you know, just to, you know, and it's a gamble too. There's chance involved. I mean, sure, you could be down to the last before the next move or the next series, and you could blow a tire, have an engine issue. And it's just, you know, luck of the draw that's going to happen.
Sure. No,
but,
I'm with
you. I have found it to be tremendously exciting in the way that they've restructured, you know, the final 10 races of the series.
I absolutely love it. Now, if I'm being critical, my issue with the chase is Talladega being in the final, to the last round there, to from an elimination standpoint. I'd hate someone to get caught up at Talladega through the big one and not be able to advance. That's my only issue. But from, like you said, I love the elimination side of things. I love the drama that it causes, and it forces there to be a need to watch at Homestead. I mean, what more could you want from that regard?
Well, you know, yeah, they were very, you know, concerned about Dega being the cutoff for, I think it was the second round going into the third, and that's why they revised it.
Yep.
And then they,
yep,
switched those races, which to me, you know, solved a lot of issues, because,
sure,
you're right, it's a gamble at Talladega, and, you know, it would be very unfortunate to lose a potential champion because he got caught up in somebody else's mess.
Absolutely.
But, yeah. And that can still happen at,
oh,
any,
sure,
other racetrack.
But, sure.
But it's just one of those things where I really, and I'm a fan of it. At first I'm like, what the heck is going on here? I don't like this at all, because it was change. Older guy, don't like change. But all of a sudden, once I saw it unfold, and, you know, to our advantage, we've sold out the last several championship races at Homestead, and that's where we've got a massive investment. So it's nice to go there knowing that you spent all this money and see the stands absolutely packed.
Absolutely. All right, so transition here a little bit. The talk early on this season was the young guns versus the veterans. So far through 11 races, it's been the veteran show and almost a Ford show. You know, I'm excited with who's coming up through the ranks and who's going to be passing the torch to some of these younger guys, if you will, through the Xfinity Truck Series, and even now some of the younger guys in the Cup Series. Give me a comment on that versus young guns versus the veterans. I like the story that they're trying to build with that, but it's just not there. The story's not there yet. The old guys aren't ready to give it up yet.
Well, if you think of the superstars that we just had leave the sport, you know, just in the last few years, we lost a tremendous amount of dominant fan base followers for, you know, Jeff Gordon, Tony Stewart, now Junior, Matt Kenseth, although Matt's coming back. And what's that say about the sport as far as old guns versus young guns?
Absolutely.
You're going to bring an old gun back, a past champion, a guy that Gibbs gave up on and said, time to move on. And here's Jack Roush bringing him back into the fold. And what that does, too, is these old guns, as they're around, they can help develop these young guys. I mean, we've got some tremendous talent, you know, with if you look at Darrell Wallace, Bubba Wallace, if you got Ryan Blaney, you have Suarez, you have Jones, you have you know, Chase Elliott, who's I'm a big fan of. His dad's one of my good friends, and watching, I've known Chase since he was, you know, being pushed around in the stroller, basically. And it's just amazing that, you know, these guys will dominate our sport at one point. But it's amazing to see, you know, the Harvicks, the Boyers, and, you know, some of these old guys still holding their own in there. That's exciting. And I think you'll still see that for a while. And I think you'll see Matt come back, and you'll see him win some races.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, I don't believe they've announced the schedule for him past Kansas and Charlotte, but Roush has won a lot of races at MIS, and I know Matt's won a couple races there. That would be incredible if he's racing at MIS here in June and gets to victory lane.
Yeah, that would be good. I'm just glad he's back in the sport. He was a dear friend of mine for years, and he did so much for Ford. And when he moved on, you know, there were some issues. Obviously, Carl Edwards had left Roush, and then Matt followed. They both went to Toyota, and that ruffled a lot of
our
fan base, and also, you know, at Ford Motor Company. But, you know, even with the incident with Joey a few years ago at Martinsville, I know that Ford is welcoming Matt back to the fold at Roush.
Excellent. Excellent. All right. So I want you to brag for a minute on Ford's dominating performance through the first 11 races here. But aside from that, what's your takeaway from the racing in 2018?
Well, I'm enjoying it, and I'm just, you know, it's one of those things that I hope it's not because I left. they're winning races, you know, and I didn't have a lot to do with the technological standpoint of what we do, and we do a lot with these teams as far as resources to, you know, help them run faster on the track. But just being with these guys day in and day out, and traveling with them, and being there to assist with all the marketing activities, it's very rewarding to see, number one, Ford leading the manufacturer points, which we haven't done in a long time. And then seeing Stuart Haas and the team that they've got there, you know, Harvick, Boyer, Amarola running very well. Kurt Busch last year coming right out of the chute. First race with Stuart Haas and Ford, wins the Daytona 500. Seeing Tony Stewart wearing a Ford hat at the track is extremely rewarding. But to see that, to see the strength of Team Penske, you know, now you've got Ryan running with Team Penske. To see Paul Menard running extremely well with the Wood Brothers. David Reagan, Michael McDowell running well. Ricky Stenhouse, I think, is going to win another race. Matt coming into the fold, helping Trevor. Trevor's still going to run some races. So we've got a huge opportunity here to hopefully, after what's it been since 2004, I believe, is when Ford last won a Cup championship, driver championship. We have a great opportunity. I believe we've won 6 of the 11 races so far. Obviously, Kevin won, winning 4, Clint and Joey each winning 1.
Yep.
And I think Ford won in Cup last year only 8 races in the entire year. So we're hopefully well on our way. I hope I don't jinx them in any way, because I enjoy the momentum. And you know, so many people, Brandon, had us dead in the water because we're running a dated body with the Fusion. Chevy's brand new this year with the Camaro. Toyota changed their body last year, and everybody's like, Ford will be lucky if they even win a race. And then look at that, 6 of 11 already. We're sitting in winner's here.
And now the talks, you know, Chevy's fallen to the wayside. So it's you definitely get the transition of up and down with teams, manufacturers. You definitely hit stride, so to speak, there.
Well, it's been a long time. 2004, Kurt Busch. You know, prior to that, Kenseth in 2003. And I was hoping it was last year, my last year with the team, where I could, you know, go down and stand in victory lane on the big stage, as we call it. And it just hasn't happened. But I'm really, we've got a good crew of people there at Ford Performance, and some great teams with a lot of, you know, talent. So I'm hoping this is their year.
Excellent. Well, Tim, tell the listeners, can they find you on social media anywhere?
Yeah, you know, I was very active, obviously, traveling the circuits with all the series, I'm on Facebook as Tim Dewar, Twitter at Tim Dewar, Instagram Tim Dewar, just one word, T-I-M-D-U-E-R-R. But probably if anybody goes on to follow me now, I still throw out a lot of racing stuff, but mainly it's now golf and family and travel and, things that maybe the racing fan may not all be that interested in. But I do enjoy social media, and that's a good way to keep up with, obviously all the folks, the massive number of people that I work with within the sport, and see how they're all doing week in and week out, not only in Charlotte at the shops, but also at the track every weekend.
Absolutely. All right, Tim, thank you so much for the time. It's been a pleasure talking to you, getting to know maybe a little bit different side of the sport that the listeners and the fans don't get too often. So big thanks, Tim Dewar from Ford Performance, Ford Motorsports, for coming on the show. Let's do it again, and maybe we'll see you at MIS in a couple weeks.
Yeah, looking forward to it, Brandon. I'm going to head down there, I'm sure, at some point throughout the weekend in June.
Well, I hope you guys enjoyed that interview as much as I did. That was so much fun talking to Tim there. I told him after we wrapped up there, I could have talked to him for another hour, just expanding on some of those questions, and could have asked him 100 more questions. That was just so much fun, a wealth of knowledge and information, someone that's been in the sport as long as he has, and from a different side of the sport, not the driver, not the crew chief, not the pit guy, from the marketing side, from a manufacturer perspective. That was just a very cool take, and couldn't be more thankful to Tim for coming on there and taking his time to come on the show there for a little bit, and hopefully get to run up and meet up with him in June there. That said, let's talk some racing. It has been a long 5 weeks. We finally had some trucks on the track this weekend at Dover. Noah Gregson wins stage one. Johnny Sauter wins stage two, and winner of the race, Johnny Sauter, with one crazy battle there at the end between Gregson and Sauter. That was fantastic. Side by side, beating on the door, everything we have come to expect in a close truck race. It was fantastic. Gregson, definitely the aggressor there a little bit. Like I said, it's everything we've come to love with these guys, putting it all out there, trying to make a name for themselves. Unfortunately, Sauter and Gregson weren't able to race to the line like that. Gregson lost control. Maybe the next time he's a little bit more patient, maybe gives a little softer tap. I definitely am convinced he's learned from that. And who knows, this situation might help him win a race next time around. But that wreck set up for an overtime with a restart with some popular picks in the Lap Traffic Fantasy League and Johnny Sauter and Matt Crafton. Crafton jumped ahead for a split second there on the restart, but could not clear on the backstretch. Sauter regains the lead and rides to victory lane. And I got to tell you, huge hats off to Gregson for acknowledging the mistake. You could totally tell he was upset with himself for the outcome, how things happened. Took responsibility for that, went over, talked to Sauter right after that. In the interview, he said, that's not how he wants to be known for racing. Just a class act right there. And we'll see. I definitely look for him to be in victory lane very soon. But just, I can't tell you enough how awesome of a finish that was to watch with that truck race. You've heard me say it for a long time, in terms of if you're just getting into the sport, or if you're just showing someone that's trying to get into the sport, show them a truck race before any other race. And that's why right there. Hats off to Harrison Burton with a top five finish there, and Joe Nemechek with a top 10. And another notable shout out to Lap Traffic alum Ben Rhodes with a top 10 there. Hit the standings here real quick. Johnny Sauter's in first, Ben Rhodes in second, Noah Gregson's in third, Lap Traffic alum Brett Moffitt in fourth, Grant Effinger in fifth, Matt Crafton in sixth. It is heating up in the truck race. So awesome to have the truck races back after a very, very long break. And we get him again this Friday night under the lights at Kansas. I am looking very, very forward to some Friday night racing this weekend. Over to the Xfinity Series. Elliott Sadler wins stage one. Justin Allgaier wins stage two. And Allgaier wins the battle to the checkers and the dash for cash in this one. Stage one, we didn't get two laps into this race before Matt Tift goes around. Fortunately for him, he didn't hit anything. He was able to bring home a top 10 with that early spin and early caution. We got a late caution, stage one, with about 15 to go. In the first stage, it was pretty cool. We had Dash for Cash driver Sadler, Allgaier, Jones ran top five for most of stage one. Sadler, Allgaier, and Jones finishing 1, 2, and 3 in stage one. So that was pretty exciting. Tyler Reddick started 33rd, finished stage one in the top five, finished second in stage two, and brought home a top five finish. So that was a nice run for him. Stage two ran green for most of it until about 13 to go when Kaz Grala goes around, which opened up some pit strategy for track position to start stage three. Stays green to the finish with this one, with Allgaier winning stage two. Stage three had a couple mid-stage cautions during this one. The 16 Orion Reed got the 36 loose, went back to green with 50 to go, stayed green until 32 to go when Ty Majeski and Dylan Lupton got into each other. Back to green with about 27 to go, and that stayed green to the end. And typically at a track like Dover, if it stays green with 27 to go, you'd expect it to open up a little bit. But with 10 to go, awesome battle with Allgaier and Sadler. Sadler looked like he was gaining, looked like he might be able to take it, but was not able to put the pass on Allgaier. Allgaier hangs on for the win and the second great finish of the weekend and the dash for cash. So that was very cool that not only did we get to see two drivers battling for the win, but little side pot action going on with the dash for cash. Very exciting. Second big and close finish of the weekend. We did not get that for the Cup race, but we'll get to that in a minute here. I could be wrong, but just a random fact that I noticed during the Xfinity race was we did not have any green flag pit stops during the race. Now, maybe a team or two, but we didn't have a sequence of green flag pit stops that I recall anyways, during the race, which is something you would definitely expect to see at a track like Dover. But the cautions fell at the right time where teams didn't have to put too much thought into it and were able to take advantage. But yeah, definitely a little odd. If I'm wrong, let me know. But I'm pretty confident that we did not see any green flag pit stops. You know, over the last few years, I believe in the Cup Series, we've started off with multiple different winners. Not necessarily the case this year in Cup, but from an Xfinity Series standpoint, we've had 10 races, 10 different winners in the Xfinity Series, 5 from Cup, 5 from Xfinity. So that's a pretty cool Xfinity stat there. Decent finishes by Chris Bell, another top 5. Tyler Reddick, top 5. And how about Johnny Sauter? Packing up his win in the Truck Series with a 6th place finish in the Xfinity Series. Noah Gregson, 7th place finish there. Matt Tift in 8th. Brennan Jones gets a top 10 finish. Elliott Sadler, Mr. Consistency, hanging on to the points lead, followed by Justin Allgaier, Tyler Reddick, Christopher Bell, Daniel Hemric, Cole Custer, Brennan Jones, Ryan Truex, Spencer Gallagher, and Matt Tift wrap out the top 10 there. The Xfinity Series has a couple weeks off until Charlotte on Saturday, May 26th. So we get a little break with the Xfinity Series. But, hey, at least we got the truck race and Cup race this weekend under the lights. Speaking of Cup, my man, Mr. Kevin Harvick, wins stage one. He wins stage two and brings home the checkered flag for his 4th win in 2018, which is crazy. I was not expecting that at all, but you guys know I'm ecstatic as could be with that. Tires was definitely the theme of the race weekend, I think. Decent race, I thought. I felt like, especially during the Cup Series, If you were P1, P2, you were up there. You were contending. You were racing for the lead. We had some lead changes. We did not see the leader get, at least during stage one and two, and for most of stage three, you didn't see the leader get that 5-10 second lead. Harvick definitely spaced it out there towards the end. But for most of the race, if you were P1, P2, you were right up there and in contention. As we saw the race progress there, Harvick jumped out to a lead on lap two. We had an early spin on lap four with Michael McDowell, brought out an early yellow. The 18 reported an early vibration, and we saw what happened with him. He had to take it to the garage early. Well, not early, but mid-race there. Lap 22, the 72 blew an engine. Tires definitely paid dividends for some guys like Brad Keselowski, who were able to move into the lead halfway through stage one. 78 of Martin Truex Jr. with 23 to go, battling for the lead, had to bring it down for a tire going down. Again, tires were definitely critical at Dover. Concrete track, you know, shouldn't be surprised there. What I will say is that stage one became a fuel-saving race like none I'd ever seen. I don't recall fuel being such an issue during a early stage like that before. It was definitely unique for me. I was tweeting about that with PETM during our live tweet, if you will, during the race, and it was exciting. I mean, you definitely, if it wasn't for the stages, wouldn't care that teams were running out of fuel. They just would have come down and pitted for fuel and tires when they were running low on gas. But because of how close the teams were and how close they were to the stage, there were some teams taking a gamble. And you saw that with how it played out. So that was exciting. If you didn't like that, I'd like to know why. But I thought that was cool that we had a fuel-saving race there. And I was up on my seat at the end of stage one, which, like I said, that's pretty cool. Let's see here. The 21, like I said, he coasted to the checkered flag at the end of stage one. Kurt Busch got a penalty for an uncontrolled tire there on pit road. Stage two, pretty quiet for the first 34 laps of the stage until Derek Cope brought out the yellow. Brad Keselowski took advantage of the pit box, got the lead early in stage two. Bowman and Larson racing hard for the lucky dog with 46 laps into stage two. Great battle for a few laps between Harvick and Keselowski in stage two. Harvick was able to take the lead with 40 to go in stage two and was able to hang on. Stage three, 51, Cody Ware brings out an early stage three caution. Caution gets loose, hits the wall hard. 18 goes up in smoke with 130 to go. Ha ha, M-O-A-T-F. Penske cars take two tires, win the battle off pit road over the four, who took four tires when that caution came out there. We get the green with 120 to go. 17 and Jamie McMurray didn't take any tires. The 2 and 22 took two tires. The 4 and 14 took four tires. And we saw how that pays off. Boyer with fresh tires was able to take advantage, past the 17 for the lead. 85 to go. The 4 works his way up to P2 and was able to have a nice battle with the 4 and 14 there. Yellow comes out for rain. Damn Mother Nature and your 40-minute rain delay and red flag, but that lifts with 80 to go. The 14 was able to win the battle off pit row, takes him back to green with 76 to go. And with 62 to go, the 4 takes the lead and never looked back and brought him his fourth win of the season in 11 races. I'll be honest, I was waiting. I was waiting for the Phantom debris caution. I figured there's no way they're going to let this thing go 62 green flag laps, but they did. I'm not going to lie. I was definitely surprised. Over to the standings. Kyle Busch is holding on to a points lead, followed by Joey Logano and Kevin Harvick. Clint Bowyer and Brad Keselowski wrap out the top five from a point standpoint. But your playoff points leader with 19 is Kevin Harvick, followed by Kyle Busch with 17. And those two are sitting up top there nice and pretty. Next closest is Joey Logano and Martin Truex Jr. with 7 points. Everyone with a win, is in the top 16 in points with the exception of Austin Dillon, who's in 19th. So if they were to reseed right now for the playoffs, Stenhouse would get the bump to make room for Austin Dillon. Cup Series this weekend, under the lights as well, Kansas. I am looking forward to it. Buddy, who's helping me out with fantasy, good old Mick Rose, is heading down to Kansas. So I'm running fantasy this weekend. Mick's been taking care of the point standings and updating all that. So, buddy, have a blast this weekend at Kansas and hope your boy Young Money does very well. All right, everyone, make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, at LapTrafficPC. Don't forget to tell your friends, family, subscribe on iTunes, Podbean, Spreaker, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn Radio, Player FM. It's all over the place out there. Make sure you check that out. Over to some new followers on Twitter. The Chan Man, at Chandler Baker 23, big NASCAR fan and aspiring race broadcaster. Good luck, buddy. Tara Jones, at Tara LG. She also a reporter for the number two of ladiesofspeed.org. Welcome to Lap Traffic. Darren Meeks, at Darren Meeks 88 from North Carolina, and a Martin Truex Jr. fan. Julie Adams, at IndyCar Julie, welcome to the show. And proud military mama, at Cameron 777, loves her Bulldogs and NASCAR. Welcome to Lap Traffic. Everyone, don't forget to click on the Amazon portal on the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com, for all your Amazon purchases. T-shirts, hoodies, mugs, you name it, are also available on the website. I got a ton of pictures tweeted this weekend of all of your favorite beverages in your Lapped Traffic koozie, which is awesome. Those are up on the website under the fan page. Make sure you check that out as well. If you've got any fan mail, The Lap Traffic Podcast, P.O. Box 725-275, Berkeley, Michigan 48072. Two random notes before we get to the infamous weather segment with Mr. Aaron Studwell. John Hunter Nemechek was on standby this weekend, could have potentially gotten his Cup debut. However, Kyle Larson already had their second child, so congrats to them. And Matt Kenseth, as we heard, makes his return this weekend to Kansas, which is going to be very exciting. Very curious to see how Matt does back in the car. It's going to be interesting to track practice and qualifying this weekend to see how Matt does in the car for the first time since Homestead last year. All right, let's get to some weather. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, it is time. Time for some weather. Joining me on the line, as always, from raceweather.net. You can follow him on Twitter, at raceweather. The wonderful, the fabulous, and the accurately weather-predicting weatherman, Mr. Aaron Studwell. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Don't be so surprised that we do a good job of doing this forecasting stuff here.
Well, you know, I guess maybe I'm just so surprised because the weather people here in Metro Detroit, I know they work hard. They don't seem to get it as accurately 24 hours in advance as you do, you know, 3 and 4 days in advance. So kudos to you and Brian. You guys, you nailed it. You said there was a small chance for an interruption this weekend, and that's exactly what we got.
We had a small interruption, and yeah, it's funny because all of a sudden you see people on Twitter like, I'm getting raindrops, and all of a sudden, red flag.
Like, right.
Oh, well, it's nice having ground truth there and having people you trust in the stands saying, hey, it's raining. Yeah.
There is notable precipitation. Well, that's awesome. How was your weekend? We talked a few minutes beforehand. It sounds like you had a busy weekend, sir.
Yeah, it was busy. A nice Saturday with my son, though, and Sunday was at work, and long day here. I had the race on the iPad, but didn't get to watch it all that much. Just kind of busy forecasting for the day job.
Gotcha. It's unfortunate how the day job gets in the way of things sometimes.
I tell you, I could do NASCAR weather all day.
Right. And,
be happy with that.
All right. So we're heading to Kansas this weekend. Two night races, Friday, Saturday night. How are we looking?
We're actually, in general, looking good. It's going to be a little bit like Dover was, for different reasons. We can go into reasons in a minute, with a chance of isolated showers. Thunderstorms are possible. We have a system extending a stationary front. We're extending across the region with a low pressure center going over the area. Well, looking, it's been very spotty for the coverage. So I want to say scattered, isolated and scattered, probably about a 20% chance of rain. If thunderstorms do get kicked off, they will be strong to severe. Right now, the atmosphere would not necessarily be primed for thunderstorms, but if they do get kicked off, if it gets warm enough, we could be looking at some pretty strong storms again across eastern Kansas. And we saw that a couple of years ago where the track, I mean, they did a great job. Kansas Speedway has done a good job in managing these situations, but, man, they've had some major storms in eastern Kansas and then also went across to western Missouri. But, yeah, for this weekend, just looking at isolated scattered showers and thunderstorms.
So maybe a little more than a poncho if it opens up.
Yeah, it could be. I would bring two, and maybe just plan on taking one home.
There you go.
I'm fairly optimistic that it's definitely not a rain out. We're not looking at cancellation of events. We're just looking at just chance of afternoon showers and thunderstorms because we have that kind of focal point going to be there.
Okay.
With the front.
Excellent. Well, sir, blast as always. Have a good rest of the week, good weekend, and we'll do some tweeting about the weather as we get closer. And have a good weekend,
sir. We'll keep getting you closer to 5,000 followers.
We're ticking slowly, but we'll get there sooner or later. So
yes, we will.
All right, brother. Have a good one.
Good talking to you.
Thanks,
Bye.
Man. We'll see you. All right. So before we get to the lucky dog and lap down picks of the weekend, little info on the wave around hotline. So here's what kind of was happening on Tuesday. So come around 7 o'clock Tuesday nights, I'd go live with the wave around hotline. I turned it on, and some nights I'd get 3-4 calls, some nights one, some nights none. And I wasted, well, I don't want to say wasted, but I'd sit here for about a half an hour or so. And the issue is, I think just everyone's Twitter feeds are refreshing so quickly. People listen when it's convenient for them, which is the whole point of podcasting, which is awesome. And I just felt like I could have been more productive with my time during that. So we're going to try something different with the Wave Around Hotline. As soon as the race ends, you can call the same number, 248-965-9538. And if you want to tweet your response, you can continue to do that, getting awesome responses on Twitter with the lucky dog picks. But if you want to hear your voice on the show, you can call that number, leave your name, you can leave your Twitter handle, you can leave a comment about the race, and you can leave your lucky dog and lap down picks, and I will play it back on the show. That's not to say that we're not going to do any more live phone calls. What I'm thinking is gauge some interest on when's a good day and time for everybody, and maybe do some extra content, maybe an extra show every couple weeks or something like that, where it's just you guys calling in and we're talking racing. We don't have to talk about a specific race. We don't have to talk about an upcoming race. We can just do an extra content show. And maybe if it's planned with a day in advance, with a time that everybody knows, we can maybe get some calls back to back a little bit quicker. So we'll see what happens. We're going to play around with it and see how we can dial it in perfectly here. Work in progress with the Wave Around Hotline. So there is that. That said, lucky dog lap down picks of the weekend. Who are mine? I'm going to tell you. Mine. Lucky dog has to be the 4 of Kevin Harvick. 4 wins, 11 races. Badass. I'll take that all day long. Lap down, Mother Nature did not need that 40-minute rain delay there. That interrupted a really good race. Didn't need it. The teams didn't need it. Drivers didn't need it. That was a nuisance, if you will. So my lap down is going to Mother Nature. Over to some tweeted responses. Wally T at Wally Tarkington, who I believe is their first time responding with this, which is awesome. Welcome. Wally's lucky dog is Stuart Haas Racing. Lapdown is HMS Racing. Nick at DX Flyers. Lucky Dog is Suarez. Lapdown, Kyle Larson. Captain Redneck at Redneck _ Captains. Lucky Dog, of course, is Harvick. Lapdown, Kyle Busch. Linda at RacingGal _FL's Lucky Dog, Kyle Larson on top 10 finish after starting at the back and going three laps down. It's interesting. I love you guys for tweeting all this stuff because there are a lot of people that put Kyle Larson a lap down, and there are a lot of people that put Kyle Larson on their Lucky Dog, which is very cool. Lisa at LL Chananas, Lucky Dog Suarez. He is one of her favorite drivers. Hope to see him in victory lane. Got a good finish this weekend. Lap down, Kyle Larson. David at DFlint14's Lucky Dog. The three cars of Tony Stewart and SHR in the top five and all four in the top 12 in points. And Smoke getting a top five in sprint cars on Saturday night. Lap down, Cope and Ware. Two slowest cars on the track. Both managed to single-handedly total their cars. Scott at 1985 Wagner's Lucky Dog Larson. Great run. Was having some bad luck before the start. Lap down. 18 goes from penthouse to the outhouse for luck. I love that. That's awesome. MOATF at MOATF Podcast. Lucky Dog is the whole field because if the 18 didn't blow up, it would have been his fourth win. Lap down is Brandon. Me, Brandon, useless at Fantasy Crowd. Haha, okay, they are looking forward to next week's battle. Bring it on, boys. That's all I have to say. I will address that momentarily. Big thanks again to everyone that continues to tweet your lap down and Lucky Dog responses. I absolutely love it. That said, it's time to talk some fantasy. Just a reminder, get your picks in by 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on Friday. The Twitter interaction is strong with you guys. This weekend was off the charts. Everyone talking about their picks, whether they finished first, second, whatever it may be. There was some bragging going on, that's for sure. Let's see how the weekend finished for everybody. Congrats to Baron Hadley, the only player to pick all three winners this weekend and scoring an amazing 176 points. Points. That is off the charts. Congratulations to you. Let's see here. Let's get to the top 10. Chloe Yunker still in first with 1,208 points. Tommy Witt in second with 1,122. John Entwistle is in third with 1,112. Tasha Snook in fourth with 1,064. Paul Hollenbeck is in fifth with 1,057. Chad Robinson, 6th, 1,048. Jeff Hess moves up to 7th with 1,041. Mick Rose is in 8th with 1,039. Andrew Kancian is in 9th with 1,035. And the MOATF podcast wraps out the top 10 with 1,021 points. You notice I'm still not in the top 10. I'm not anywhere near the top 10. My picks this week did okay. Crafton finished in second in the Truck Series. Got the win with Allgaier in the Xfinity Series. Not horrible from Chase, but this is a tough fantasy league. Who finished in 12th there. I moved up a few points, but it's not worth mentioning. That said, I made a little challenge to the MOATF podcast on DraftKings. As you noticed, David was bragging about that early on and said he was going to drink my tears. Well, my friend, they are tears of joy because while you may have won the DraftKings battle, Kevin Harvick won the race. And I'm sorry, where did your car finish? Oh, that's right. Kind of like me in terms of where I'm finishing in stage one of the Lap Traffic Fantasy. But that is all right. We will keep this battle going, my man. And we'll see how we do this weekend at Kansas. Hope you have a blast in Florida. That said, it's time for the... This week, we head to Kansas for some night racing. Martin Truex Jr. won both the spring and fall race here last year. Does he get back to victory lane for the second time in 2018? Kevin Harvick won the fall race back in 2016. Does he make it two in a row and five on the season this Saturday night? Ryan Blaney had two top fives last year at Kansas. Could he see the checkered flag first this Saturday night? When will the young guns start to make their presence known? No better time than a Saturday night race to make your presence felt. Let's get to the picks. Truck race. I say Noah Gregson rebounds from his battle with Sauter this weekend. I am taking Noah Gregson. There is no Xfinity race this weekend, so we're going right to Cup. I am probably going to jinx him, but Kevin Harvick puts the field on notice for 2018 and wins his fifth race in 12 races this weekend at Kansas. Those are the picks. Don't forget to send your picks in if you're playing in the league. There are only two races left in stage one of the Lap Traffic Fantasy League, Kansas and Charlotte. After Charlotte, we are resetting. And don't forget, the league voted. The majority were in favor of the bonus race for the All-Star. If you pick the winner of the All-Star race, you're getting an extra 15 points added for stage one of the Lap Traffic Fantasy. We'll talk about that more next week. So that's fantasy. Oh, I love the battle. It's heating up like crazy. Lap Traffic Nation, that is going to put a wrap on episode 67 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. It was a blast as always. Don't forget to check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. Don't forget to subscribe. The giveaway is going strong. Getting close to 3,000 followers. I'm going to come out with a new contest and giveaway for 3,000. We got the big one, the RPM quarter panel going to the once we hit 5,000 followers. That's a little bit of ways away, I know. Don't forget to submit your fantasy picks. Huge thanks to Tim Dewar, working on next week's guest still. Don't get caught chasing the lucky dog. Make sure you tune in each and every week to the Lap Traffic Podcast. See ya!